hearts aflame with the hope of glory, really is looking at two reciprocal truths that work together in your life and my life because we're in Christ Jesus. And those reciprocal truths are the believer in Christ and Christ in the believer. We see both of those expressions throughout the New Testament teaching of the gospel, throughout the life of the church, and certainly the implications of that relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ in you and you in Christ Jesus certainly brings about a whole new world, if you will, of transformation, a whole new world of standing that you have in Christ Jesus. And that's what we're going to be looking at today. As you take a look at your outline before you, our new standing in Christ, justified by faith and now standing in grace. We realize, all of us, I trust you do, I pray you do, that we're saved by grace through faith in Christ alone. Take a look at that passage you have at the top of your outline that makes this relationship of Christ in us and we in Christ makes it a reality in our lives every day and the reality of the church. That's Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of your own doing. It is a gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. That's the beginning of that new life, isn't it? In fact, as Paul presents the gospel and reminds the believers there in Ephesus of the gospel, the believer realizes too that we were chosen before the foundations of the world. And then the whole process of that redemptive work of God in your life bringing you to that point of recognizing that Jesus Christ is the only way of salvation. Jesus Christ is the only way of forgiveness. And that we're saved by God's grace, not by our works, not even by going to church or being baptized. And we're here today. Isn't that great? Aren't you glad? And we're going to see a baptism today. But going to church and being the church, if you will, and being baptized as a believer is predicated upon this truth here in Ephesians chapter 2. 8 through 10. For we are his workmanship, amen? Yeah, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Not saved by good works, but saved by God's grace through faith in Christ unto good works. So just take a look at your hearts aflame and just looking at the hope of glory that we have in Christ Jesus. Join with me in prayer. Father God, we thank you. We thank you, Father, for your saving grace in your Son, Jesus Christ. That grace that continues to work in our lives, that we experience and know, and we proclaim the power of God and the gospel, your gospel that brings sinners, lost sinners, into a relationship with you through Christ. Father, we pray now as we look at our standing being justified by faith in Christ alone, and standing in that grace every day. Lord, give us understanding of how to not only apply it, but to appropriate all that you have for us in Jesus Christ, our crucified and risen Savior, that we have for life and godliness right now. So Lord, I pray for everyone. I pray for all of our hearts, Lord, that we would have our hearts open, our minds open to you, the work of your word, our souls, the very depths of our souls, touched profoundly by your Spirit, by your Holy Spirit, with your holy word. For Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So take a look at your outline. I'm talking about our new standing. And in this part of the series, we're looking at all things that we have as new in Christ Jesus. No longer does a believer in Jesus Christ stand before a holy God as a wretched, condemned, and rebellious sinner under the wrath of God, but now in the new standing and hope in Christ. This new standing in Christ our Savior is the basis for amazing blessings. We're going to be taking a look at some of those, just a few of those amazing blessings there in Romans chapter 5. And the profound transformation that God is working in your life and in the life of the body of Christ, the church. And an incredible future with God in glory. Romans chapter 5 now, verses 1 through 11. Follow with me as I read verses 1 through 11. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him we have also obtained access by faith into this grace, in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Let's just stop right there and take a look at verse 1, if you will. More than just forgiveness, if you will, and the promise of a place in heaven, that God's gospel guarantees us in Christ Jesus. Yes, forgiveness and the promise of eternity with God in heaven is all part of it. But that's not all of it. There's so much more, isn't there? And we rejoice in the so much more. And Paul does here in this passage. Take a look. If you will, righteousness and peace with God, verse 1. That's what we have. We have the righteousness. Therefore, being justified by faith. The word justified there means that we've been declared by God, who is holy and righteous. We've been declared righteous in his Son, Jesus Christ. That's what justified means. I know some people kind of simplify it and dumb it down. It says, justified just as if I never sinned. But we have sinned, and we still do sin. But how does that work of grace continue to work in our lives? That's what we're going to be looking at in this series. Justified by faith means that we are declared by God in his Son as having the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Take a look at your outline before you have a verse there. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. For our sake he made him, meaning Christ, him, to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. That's the righteousness that you and I need to be able to stand before a holy and just and righteous God. And that's the righteousness indeed that God has declared to us, has accounted to us. The moment you put your faith, the moment we put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for our sins and rose again from the grave. And there's so much more. It's not just the fact that we are forgiven and we have a place in heaven, but God declares each and every one of his children righteous in God's righteousness in Christ Jesus. Let's take a look, if you will. We're not only justified, we also have peace with God. Peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The sinner is being reconciled to a holy God through Christ. The Bible looks at this new life that you and I have in Christ Jesus and teaches us that there are three aspects of that peace. First of all, when you and I put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, we have peace with God. We're reconciled to God. We're no longer enemies with God. God no longer looks upon us as lost sinners, wretched and rebellion against him, but now clothed in the righteousness of his Son. And we have peace, peace with God through that reconciliation. But we also have the peace of God within that every one of us desperately needs every day. That peace of God within through Jesus Christ is made only possible because we have been reconciled to God through Jesus Christ. If we hadn't been reconciled and brought to peace with God as enemies and now made children of God, none of us would have that peace with. Peace with God through Jesus Christ. We have the peace of God within. Paul describes it as peace beyond our comprehension, because sometimes when we go through life's struggles and difficulties, sufferings, tribulations and trials, sometimes we realize we're just so anxious, so fearful, so upset. And all of a sudden, as you turn your face to the face of Christ, your Savior, and you read God's word, and the Holy Spirit begins to minister his comfort to you. All of a sudden, in the midst of that storm, you have peace. You've been there. Maybe it's cancer. Maybe it's a loss of a loved one. Maybe it's a wayward son or daughter. And you've taken that struggle, that trial, before the throne of grace, and you have peace. Not only do we have peace with God and peace within, peace of God within, but he makes it possible that you and I can have peace with each other.
that's so important. Peace with each other. Being reconciled with each other. Yes, through that grace of forgiveness. Through that grace of accepting one another in Christ Jesus. Oh yes, salvation is so much more than just having our sins forgiven and having a place in heaven. We are justified, declared righteous in Christ Jesus because of all that Christ has done in his life, his death, and resurrection. And all that he is doing now as our Savior. Let's continue on, if you will, in our study. We're rejoicing in the hope of the glory of God. Take a look at verse 2. Through him we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. We no longer stand as sinners condemned and judged and under the wrath of God, but now we stand in the very person of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior, in his righteousness, and God sees us in Christ. Complete. Righteous. And he gives us hope. Here, in this, we stand. The word stand here is, it doesn't mean that we're stationary. But the word stand is a very strong word. It speaks of, if you will, that a position identification in Christ. But it speaks of a firm position. Not temporary, but permanent. You are permanently in Christ Jesus if you received him, put your trust and faith in him alone. You stand in Christ. You are made perfect in him. And that work of perfection continues to start, continues through each and every day of our lives. Just continue on, if you will. We have access by faith into God's grace. The writer of Hebrews says it's a new and living way. What do you think he's talking about? Sheep and goats and like the Old Testament? No. Through the very Lamb of God who is alive. Aren't you glad? Jesus is alive. And it's through him. They are sitting at the right hand of God the Father. You and I, because we are in Christ and Christ is in us, we have a living access. We have a new and living access to God before the throne of grace. No longer a throne of judgment and condemnation. No longer a throne of wrath, but a throne of grace. Aren't you glad? Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, the writer of Hebrews says, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We have a confidence too, and a sure expectation. That word hope in the New Testament, it's not like we use hope in the normal vernacular of the day. Gee, I hope it doesn't rain tomorrow because I want to go to the beach, right? If it rains, that's it. No. The word hope, and I know you know what it means, but let's just repeat it again, if you will, in our minds and our hearts. It means a firm and confident expectation upon the promises of God himself. God never fails his promises. A firm, confident expectation in God fulfilling what he has promised to us in Christ Jesus. Because you're in Christ, and Christ is in you. A hope. We have a confident and secure expectation of God's glory. Glory now, yes. Take a look at Romans chapter 8, verse 3. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also what?
Glorified.
There is that bestowal of glory in the saving work of Jesus Christ, God's only begotten Son. The glory of knowing that now you're no longer in the family of darkness and Satan, but now you're in the family of light in Jesus Christ. Now you're in the family of God. You're no longer in the kingdom of darkness and rebellion against God, but now you're in the kingdom of God. That's glory, brothers and sisters. That's glory. And that brings God, our Heavenly Father, great glory when you and I live in that reality of Christ in us and us in Christ Jesus. Glory. Not only glory that we have, if you will, the glory of reconciliation, the glory of redemption we have, but also, take a look, if you will, at the verse before you, 2 Corinthians 3:18. The glory right now, glory upon glory. For we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed. Right now, being transformed to the same image, from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Not only do we have the glory of redemption,
being in Christ, being in God's family because of what Christ has done, because of what Christ has done and is doing right now. We have that progressive transformation from glory to glory. It's a work of God, beloved. It's a work of God that he has committed himself to by covenant. By covenant. It's a work of God that he will bring on to completion. For God is at work in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. But not only is that transforming work of his grace that we stand in, bringing about that glorious transformation. Are you different now in Christ than when you were, say, 20 years ago? Are you different now in Christ Jesus than, say, you were 5 years ago? Do people see a difference in your life and how you respond to life's challenges and trials and tribulations? Or maybe when you're rubbed the wrong way and they see a different response? Are you different now? Because that's an evidence, that's a proof that God's transforming grace is at work in your life. From glory to glory, being, if you will, transformed into that same image, that one same image, conforming us to Jesus Christ. That's the image. That's the image that God is bringing about in your life, in my life, in the life of the body of Christ, his church. The future glory. Take a look at 1 John chapter 3, verse 2. Beloved, we are God's children now. Amen. What we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, Christ appears, we shall be like him because we shall see him as he is in new glorified bodies. Aren't you glad? You're going to get a new body. Amen. You know, the closer I get, I'm not getting older, I'm getting closer. And you are too. You're getting closer to that presence of God there in glory. You're getting closer to that moment, if you will, when you're transformed into that glorious body, same as Jesus Christ's body, as Paul says there in Philippians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21. So it's, yes, the glory of our salvation, that glory into glory, that he's transforming us into the image of Jesus Christ, conforming to his image, but also the glory yet to come. And that's our expectation, a confident expectation. But we also are rejoicing in the harvest of grace. Take a look at the harvest of grace, verses 3 through 5. More than that, oh, Paul just loves to use those phrases, more than that, or much more, as you see repeated in this passage. More than that, we rejoice in our sufferings. Know that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. The harvest of grace. Oh, there's so many other harvests, if you will, that's going on in your life, in my life, in the life of the body of Christ as well. But he enumerates a number of them here, doesn't he? That go, look, you know, we rejoice in our sufferings. Really? Yes. We can have joy in our suffering because of what it produces in us. Because of Christ. His presence with us always, even in suffering. That's a work of his grace. His purpose for us, that the God of all comfort will comfort us in our sufferings and adversities, that you and I, then, by God's grace and for his glory, we can comfort others. But also, we can rejoice in sufferings because of what it produces in our lives. Take a look, if you will, again at that chain. Endurance, character, hope. All of those things, the harvest of grace. That's what Paul can say. And you and I can say together with Paul, God causes all things to work together for good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. What Paul is saying, for those who know God, for those who are in Christ, and Christ is in them, no matter what you and I go through, whatever tribulation, whatever trial,
whatever suffering. The God of all comfort is with us, but is also transforming us into the likeness of the Son through those experiences. We have the overflowing love of God. Take a look, if you will, at that last part of that verse, verse 5. God's love has been poured into our hearts, not dripped in. Don't you love that? I mean, it's not just dripped in. Well, I'm going to give you about 3 drops. No! Poured in. There's an effusion of God's love being poured into your life, in my life, into the very life and experience of the body of Christ right here at South Mountain Bible Church. We have no excuse for saying, God, I can't love you. Well, he gives us a love to love him, right? We can't say, Lord, I can't love my brothers. Do you know what they did to me? Do you know what they said about me? I'm pouring my love into you. You've got to use that love, and you've got to love your brother and sister. He pours with great effusion his love into us. We're constant. Notice, if you will, Paul says there in 1 Thessalonians, now concerning brotherly love, you have no need for anyone to write to you, for you yourselves have been taught by God. See, God teaches us to love him with all our hearts, our minds, and souls. God teaches us to love our neighbor as ourselves. God teaches us because we are his children. And that's the virtue of God's family. That's the mark of God's family, love, the love of Christ. God teaches us to love one another just as Christ loves us. Let's go on to with this verse. Taught by God to love one another. For that indeed is what you are doing to all the brothers throughout Macedonia. Notice he didn't put a period there, because there's so much more. But we urge you, brothers, to do this more and more. You see, that's where change is. Change is always more and more, isn't it? Yeah. More and more of the harvest of grace within our lives, because you're in Christ and Christ is in you. And God is at work in your life. More and more here in South Mountain Bible Church, because we are in Christ and Christ is in us. More and more, we're loving one another. We have the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit, and the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies right now, through his Spirit who dwells in you. The enabling power for us to do those things that God's grace is enabling us to do, those things that God's grace is teaching us to do, that those things that God is enabling us to do, yes, toward each other, with each other, for God's glory, those things that God desires us to do and commands us to do, he gives us the power to do them. And take a look. Much more through the death and life of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verses 6 through 11. Let's take a look, if you will. We are saved by Christ's death. There in verses 6 through 9. For while we are still weak, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person, one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since therefore we have now been justified by his blood, much more, I love that phrase, don't you? Much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. Christ died for the weak and the ungodly. It demonstrates God's love for us. It also demonstrates God's justice and righteousness in the fact that Christ paid the penalty. And now you and I stand in his righteousness. We stand in his grace. Christ saved us from the wrath of God, verse 9, and we saw there. Whoever believes in the Son of God has eternal life. Whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God remains on him. That's in the same chapter of John, John chapter 3. Oh, how we love John 3:16. I love it too. It's probably one of the first memory verses that we give to kids in Sunday school or good news clubs. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him will not perish, but have what? Come on. Amen. Everlasting or eternal life. But in that same chapter, it talks about God's wrath. Yes, God loves sinners, but his wrath are upon those who do not obey God, who do not obey the gospel. Take a look. That John 3:36. Whoever believes in the Son of love has Son of God. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God remains on him. He didn't say begins upon him, but remains on him. Beloved, aren't you glad that when Jesus Christ came into your life as your Lord and Savior, that not only were you forgiven your sins, all of your sins, not only were you promised a place in heaven, but all these, if you will, the harvest of grace in your life, that you stand now justified, you stand in the righteousness of God's Son before a holy and just, righteous God. No longer under the wrath, no longer under condemnation, no longer to be judged at the great white throne. Your judgment, our judgment, if you're in Jesus Christ and Christ is in you, that judgment was settled there at the cross of Jesus Christ. He shed his blood. He rose again. Amen. We are being saved through Christ's resurrected life, verses 10 through 11. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled with God by the death of his Son. Oh, take a look. There's another much more there. Much more. Now that we have been reconciled, now that we are reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Salvation is a dynamic work of God. The Word of God presents for the believer in Christ, you have been saved. Saved from the very penalty of sin. Saved from the very power of sin. Delivered. We are being saved. That work of sanctification, being transformed. Now, we've gone over some of that already. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, being transformed from one glory to another glory. That's a work of salvation going on right now. Do you think God would ever stop that? Absolutely not. Do you think you'll ever lose that? Absolutely not. Because God is going to bring that right on to the perfection, to glory. So you and I can, like Paul also did, I have been saved, I am being saved, and I shall be saved. Saved from the penalty of sin. I'm being saved through Jesus Christ also from the power of sin, that it would no longer put me in enslavement and in bondage. But now I'm free in Christ Jesus, and I shall be saved perfectly, completely, before the very presence of God. Paul writes, I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Paul continues in his presentation of the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ as it works in the life of the individual believer and as it works in the life of the church, the body of Christ. Take a look at Romans chapter 6 there, verse 4. We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in the newness of life. Yes, salvation in Jesus Christ is so much more than being forgiven our sins. Having a place in heaven. We have a new standing. We have a new access. We stand in God's grace because of Christ. Because of Christ in you. Because of you in Christ Jesus. For we are saved by grace through faith in Christ alone. And all these wonderful, if you will, harvests of grace that God delights in producing and seeing in the life of every one of his children. Because all of those harvests of grace in your life, in my life, in our life together, all of those harvests of grace shall glory! Glory to God! Glory to Jesus Christ! It's not me, but it's Christ in me, the hope of glory. It's not you, but it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's why indeed, oh dear loved ones, when the early Christians began to realize how powerful the grace of God was in the gospel, yes, their hearts were aflame with passion for God. Their hearts were aflame in passion for the gospel to get it out. 3,000 came into the body of Christ, the proclamation of the gospel that day when Peter preached and the others proclaimed. And today, too, hearts are being made aflame with a passion for Christ, a passion for his gospel. Do you have that passion? Do you have been praying for that passion? Oh, Lord, ignite me again. Oh, Lord, ignite your church again for your glory, so that the harvest of grace that brings glory to you and honor to your Son, Jesus Christ, will be a living testimony to the power of your gospel. Amen? That's what he wants. And beloved, that's what he will do in our lives together. Are you walking in the newness of life? There at the end of your outline, is Christ in you? And are you in Christ? Maybe you're sitting here this morning, you say, Bill, I really don't know. I used to think so, but now I'm not so sure. Well, beloved, you can make that a certainty right now. Right now. Would you just bow your head, close your eyes with me? Father, I pray for all of us, but especially for that one who really is not sure, or maybe has never believed in and received your Son, Jesus Christ, into their hearts, where they are in Christ and Christ in them. Lord, I pray that today would be that day of decision, that day of commitment, that day of new life for them, for your glory, for the harvest of your grace in Christ Jesus to be so manifest in their lives that they would know that they know that they know you, Lord, without any doubt, that they would have that living hope every day, every choice, and see that even during sufferings and trials and tribulations, you are there with them, and they're growing. If you're unsure right now, dear loved one, would you just ask the Lord, the one who died for your sins and rose again, would you ask the Lord to cleanse your heart, renew your mind, come into your life anew and afresh, in the sense of that you don't just know about him, but that you want to know him personally. The Lord says, my sheep hear my voice, and they know me, and they follow me. Maybe that fire is not snuffed out, but maybe it's real low. Would you ask the Lord for that renewed passion in your heart for him? For him and him alone? That he would make your heart aflame with a loving passion to love him, to serve him, to follow him. Would you just do business with him right now? In these few minutes when our hearts are bowed, our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Father, we thank you that you never let us go. Even those times when we drift, you bring us back, because we are yours, and Christ is in us, and we are in him. So Lord, as a church family, we pray that you would, by your Holy Spirit and your Holy Word, fuel that fiery passion again for you and the things of God that we are created as your workmanship to do for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
This morning we